Jason, where do we start? That's one of the craziest things either you or I have ever seen. Covering the Bears, we will break down their ridiculous, remarkable, improbable, just batch.
Impossible. It's impossible.
I almost cursed. I didn't curse. Impossible 31-27 win against the rival Packers coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we are in the press box. It is almost midnight. The Bears, who were left for dead five different times in their first-round playoff game against the Packers, rallied to win. They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter alone. And Caleb Williams has the winner, a 25-yard pass to DJ Moore on a fake screen, kind of pump fake, throw it up deep for him in the final minute. And then the defense, after what seemed like forever, I guess a minute 48 left on the DJ touchdown, and then the defense actually hangs on. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I don't even know what to say about this, and I don't. I imagine there were just tons and tons of people sitting at home watching this the same way. Just what do you even say about this? It seems unbelievable. It seems literally impossible that this happened. And I can't even imagine what's next. Think about where things were at, Patrick, before this game. Think about the fever pitch that Chicago was at with the Bears being good again and a quarterback who is not only good but an exciting player and personality. A head coach, same thing. Not just good, but a really compelling personality. And you've got a Saturday night playoff game against the Packers at Soldier Field. You know that's going to be bonkers. And then you get the craziest game of the year. I mean, this team has won, in the regular season, they won six times when they were trailing in the final 2 minutes. And Ben Johnson's like, you know, some people have said today, Saturday after the game, he said, some people say it's unsustainable. I don't know. I'm sitting there thinking like, yeah, I've been saying it's unsustainable all year, and then they keep sustaining it.
And I think Ben Johnson's been saying it's been unsustainable all year, too.
This is impossible, but they keep showing you that it's possible. And the details on this, I mean, you have kind of two sides of what happened Saturday night. You have the details of how it actually went down. Trailing 21-3 in the third quarter, still down, Pat, 27-16, and you're sitting there saying, well, all they need is a touchdown and a two-point conversion and then a field goal, and you're like, I mean, come on, they're going to get that again, and they get more than that. You have the details of how they pulled it off, but then you also zoom out and you have the big picture of what this means for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in 15 years. When you look at what this season has been about, big picture, and then we'll get into how this happened in the fourth quarter, the hiring of Ben Johnson, the drafting of Caleb Williams the year before, putting them together this season, everything has been geared toward changing these horrible, dreary narratives about the Chicago Bears. They can't get it right at quarterback. They can't get it right at coach. They can't win a playoff game. They can't sustain anything. They're overwhelmed in the division. They can't beat Green Bay, hardly ever. They flipped all that. They've been flipping it all season, but it's now permanently flipped. I mean, it really is house money from here on out. This is beyond the ceiling of what the most optimistic people thought they could do this year. And there is such a clear indication to me that this is just the start. I don't know how far they go in this playoffs, but this is just the start of what this team is capable and what the Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams partnership is capable of.
I think when you're questioning, you know, when you're saying, you know, you have questions about the coach and quarterback, boy, you could add those questions through the first three quarters today, right? I mean, four of the Bears' first six drives, Jason, ended either when Caleb threw an incompletion on fourth down or when he threw an interception on fourth down. The Bears' defense that I've been very suspicious of, and you have too, looked like one that was barely hanging on when they give up 21 points in the first half of the game. And then they get together at halftime, and Ben Johnson says, we have a chance to have one of the great wins in the history of the city. He references early during training camp when he showed them the Falcons blowing the lead to the Patriots.
Tell them, Pat.
In the Super Bowl.
That story's been written one time by one person, one place.
It's me.
A lot of people heard about it for the first time Saturday night, but you told us this story.
Yeah, I did. And I wrote it in training camp. And the reason it was interesting was Joe Tooney, who was on the Patriots team that rallied to win, it's 28-3. Right?
Yeah.
I was at that game. I should remember it. And then you have Grady Jarrett, who was on the Falcons. So Ben comes in and he shows this footage during a meeting and has Tooney stand up and talk about it. And has Grady Jarrett stand up and wear it and explain what was going through those sidelines. And it was the way he started to lay the groundwork of wanting the team he coached to not stink at the end of games. You know, he told players as early as week 4 that the reputation of the Bears around football was that when it gets close, they blow it.
They fold.
And, you know, they blocked the field goal against the Raiders in week 4. He said since, that's probably the greatest thing that could have ever happened to us, better than blowing them out by 30. And all of a sudden, this team's on this run where you said it. Now there's 7 fourth quarter comebacks, including maybe the most important fourth quarter comeback the Bears have had in a generation, beating your rival at home after, I think, even the most optimistic Bears fan would have probably written them off.
You have in Ben Johnson, you have this leader that I don't know if anybody outside Detroit really knew that the Bears were getting that. Everybody knew you're getting this brilliant play caller and this guy who can coach quarterbacks. But there has for the longest time been this feeling with the Bears, just this inevitable disappointment that they are headed towards something bad that they cannot stop, like the Fail Mary or like all the 6-game losing streaks of the Matt Nagy and Matt Eberflus eras. And it's like Ben Johnson has come in and willed them to be the opposite. Say, we will never have that happen. We will never go down the toilet. Like we are never done. And in fact, we are always going to come back and win these games. And they can't always do it. But, I mean, Patrick, they've done it 7 times and they just did it in a playoff game.
When the Packers had 1st and 10 at the 23 with 24 seconds left, something like that. That's what was flashing through my head. I've covered this franchise long enough
that it always falls apart.
That you do the math on what's the most painful thing that could happen here. And, you know, the first year I covered the team was the year that Chris Conley blew the coverage in the final minute of the last game of the season to knock the Bears out of the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown. You've mentioned the Fail Mary. I can name 10 games that end in ostensibly the most heartbreaking way. And the Bears hung on this time. And they were helped, of course, by an injury to the Packers, which had a 10-second runoff because they were out of timeouts. They were helped by the Packers kicker, Brandon McManus, missing an extra point and a field goal in the fourth quarter. By the way, not for nothing. Final score was a 4-point game. Those are 4 points. They were helped by a lot of things, but it's just, even after they did it all year, I'm stunned that they found the horseshoe today. It's one of the more unbelievable things I've seen covering them.
If you didn't see it and you recorded it and you're wondering where to start, I think I would start with the Bears score a touchdown in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes left. So much time left. But they score a touchdown. DeAndre Swift runs for a touchdown to cut the lead. It had been 21-3 early. That cuts it to 21-16. And you feel the momentum. I mean, you feel Soldier Field just crackling. And you feel the press box shaking. We could feel it wobbling. Literally, this is not hyperbole. We could feel it.
It felt like an earthquake.
It's like being at Texas A&M or something. But the Packers answer. I mean, you have everything rolling in your favor there if you're the Bears. And the Packers answer with a touchdown drive. And it's a touchdown pass in particular from Jordan Love to Matthew Golden, where it was just super sloppy. It was a screen pass. And the Bears missed probably 5 different chances to tackle him as he's just kind of, 2 of them crashed into each other. I think Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker. He just kind of hops over Kyler Gordon laying there on the ground at one point and then outruns a few people to the end zone. And you do have Brandon McManus miss the extra point, but at that point, you're down under 7 minutes. Green Bay has sort of reasserted itself. They're up 27-16. That's usually it.
The Bears had to march and score, and they probably don't win this game if on 4th and 3 with 5:37 to play. First of all, Drew Dahlman has a false start that gets them to 4th and 8. So they're at midfield-ish, and Caleb Williams finds Roma Dunze on a leaping throw, which Cole Kmet told me just now in the locker room, it was like Caleb floated when he threw the ball. They get the conversion. It's a huge gain. It's, what, 27 yards, something like that, Jason. And all of a sudden, they go from being one play away from dead to in business. They end up scoring on a pass to Olamide Zaccheaus, who hasn't done anything for them in 2 months, and make the two-point conversion when Colson Loveland's open on the left flank.
Who is now their number one threat in the passing game, it seems.
And that gets them to 27-24. And all the Packers do is just move down the field with impunity.
They get to the Bears 21, Pat, with 3 minutes left.
They get to the 21. They take a delay of game, and there's an incomplete pass. And there's an incomplete pass, and that sets up 4th and 15 at the 26, going into the south end zone. And Brandon McManus pushes his kick right. So now you've got Caleb in the situation that he's been in almost every game this year, it feels like.
Well, now you know what he's going
to
do.
Yeah. 3 minutes to play. 2:51 to play. Ball at the 34. And they need a field goal to tie and a touchdown to win. It's remarkable what he does. And he does it quickly. He almost does it too fast. Right, Jason?
It did do it too fast.
Too much time.
I mean, Green Bay had all the time it needed.
Yeah. I mean, they chip away. 12-yard pass to Loveland. 6-yard handoff to Swift. It's 2nd and 4. Ozzie Trapillo gets hurt, blows his knee out for the year, right?
Ozzie Trapillo, knee injury, and TJ Edwards, leg injury, done for the playoffs.
So now it's 3rd and 4 at the 48, and they throw a little pass to DeAndre Swift down the right sideline, and 23 yards later, they're at the 25. Again, another one of those plays where it's 3rd and 4, you throw it incomplete, you're one play away from dead. And on the next play, they line up with DJ Moore split left. Caleb takes a snap, kind of pump fakes a little bubble screen, and looks up. And DJ is wide open on the far left-hand side of the end zone. To me, the place went crazy here. But to me, I felt it even more as the clock hit zero, because I think a lot of people in here were like me and probably sitting there wondering how the Bears were going to break their hearts. And when the defense hung on, it was something. Credit to the defense, by the way. Couldn't stop me and you in the first half.
No. And it looked like a lot of Jordan Love performances I've seen against the Bears.
And then in the second half, they go, the Packers in the second half go punt, 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 touchdown, shanked field goal, time expires.
They were begging the Bears to come and take this from them. And they got it.
The Packers managed one first down their first four drives in the second half. And, you know, Jaquan Brisker was saying after the game that in the locker room, they changed some of their coverages. They went to some more zone, which is probably a good idea given how poorly they've played in man. Kyler Gordon, I think they relied on him a lot more in the second half than they did in the first. And the Bears just played better. I would never have guessed when they were down 21-3, Jason, at halftime. Mm-hmm. That the Bears' defense would stiffen up the way that they did. They gave up 6 points in the second half. I thought we were on our way to a game that was like 42-20.
If we go back to the winning touchdown pass, 25 yards from Caleb Williams to DJ Moore, how open would you describe DJ Moore being on that play up the left side?
Pretty damn open.
He was. And perfect throw,
yeah,
by Caleb Williams. Really just a laser of a throw right on the money. But it didn't have to be.
No.
I mean, there was so much margin there. And Patrick, we've talked about this all year, how Ben Johnson's offense has changed the game for Caleb Williams. He's getting better blocking, yes. but he is also dropping back every time, knowing that these plays are going to work. It seems like there's two plus receivers open every play. I mean, that is scheme that translates no matter who's playing quarterback. But if you put somebody super talented and smart at quarterback, that could really be quite the combination. Do you remember back when, even before Ben Johnson was hired, he was saying this, but when the Bears hired him, he was describing one of his core offensive philosophies, which is make different things look the same and make the same things look different. That play where they the touchdown pass to DJ Moore that won the game for the Bears, that play is lined up to look the same as a screen pass that they threw to Luther Burden early in the game. And Caleb Williams goes to the line. He knows what they're running. He knows it's that that's the decoy, is that they are thinking about that play, and they will be watching for Luther Burden on the screen to his left. And he's saying, in his head, he's like, they're going to bite on this. I can already tell. He said by their demeanor at the line of scrimmage, he could tell they were going to bite on this. And they run what looks the same, but it's something different. It's making a different thing look the same as something they'd run before. And everybody bites on the screen to Burden. DJ Moore couldn't have been more open. That is miles and miles and miles ahead of the offense that he played in as a rookie.
The offense he played in as a rookie looked a lot like the Bears' offense in the first half. Maybe even the first three quarters. Caleb had two interceptions in this game. Jason, you want to guess the last time he threw two interceptions in a football game?
When has he done that?
Third game of his career in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. That was
a horrible game. Brutal game.
Remember the games we used to sit through last season, Pat?
Ben decides to... Ben channels his inner Dan Campbell, decides to go for it.
Is that a 21-16 thriller in Indianapolis that we watched between two garbage teams?
Do you remember Anthony?
It's making me nauseous.
You could have made a case on that day that Anthony Richardson was better than Caleb Williams was, which is just unbelievable. Ben Johnson channels his inner Dan Campbell, goes for it on fourth down from his own 32.
Yeah, whoops.
And then again from the Packers 37. Doesn't go well. The interception that Caleb threw, the second of the two, was picked off around the 6-yard line. It's fourth and one, Jason. They line up in an I formation, go a little play action, and it's shot from the beginning. There's a D tackle running right into Caleb's face. So he does that thing when he backpedals 15 yards and just kind of heaves it, and it turns into an interception. There were a lot of reasons to not be optimistic about what was going on. Big picture. Caleb said it. Other players I talked to said it too. The Bears know they can't live like this, even though they've been doing it all year.
They don't want to. They would rather not.
But you're not gonna win four games in 5 weeks, needing this, right? There's got to be an easy way.
I don't even know anymore, Pat. Maybe. It never seems possible, but then they keep doing it.
There are things they need to do to give themselves a fighting chance against whoever they play. By the way, we should be clear. They will play either the Eagles or the Rams.
They will host that team next weekend. We're recording this Saturday night, so we don't know this yet, depending on when you listen to this.
Yeah, the league will put out probably Sunday night what games are when. It could be on a Saturday or on a Sunday, but it'll be here at Soldier Field.
If you get this first thing, I guess what you're watching for is if the 49ers beat – everything hinges on the 49ers-Eagles game. If the Eagles win, they come to the Bears. If the 49ers win, they go to the Seahawks and the Rams come to the Bears.
Correct. Who'd you rather play?
The Eagles.
Okay.
I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC. Rams have a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense, an MVP quarterback, and I think I would say definitively the best coach in football. So that's not a team I want to deal with. I would
Panthers didn't have too much trouble.
That's weird, but they won still. The Rams still won. The Rams are still not a team I would want to deal with any earlier than I have to. The Eagles have been kind of up and down, even though they're the defending champs, and the Bears just pushed them around in Philly in November. The Bears never trailed in that game.
This was you asked me before the game. We were talking about if you could kind of have your pick of any NFC team.
Who you would pick to win the NFC.
Yeah, and you picked the Rams, and I picked the Eagles.
And you said the Eagles, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised you said the Eagles. Can I ask you about one thing, though, about Ben Johnson?
Sure.
So Ben Johnson went for it on fourth down 6 times. And like you and I have been covering the Bears together, I want to say, for 7 seasons now. I think this is the 7th season. So you kind of, we talked about this earlier in the week too, you kind of learn each other's football politics. And I think, I don't know if either of us has like a consistent platform, because we're both a little all over the place on different things. When it comes to fourth downs, I think I lean more conservative and you lean more aggressive. Do you think I'm right about that?
I think you're right. Okay. My aggressiveness does know, it, well, it knows boundaries.
This is my question for you is, I think, well, 4th and 5 at your own 32 in the second quarter of a playoff game.
That's a hard
no. Is that too far for you?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Yeah, hard no.
And so even the more aggressive guy here is saying that's a little too aggressive for me.
I'm not sure I'd do that in Madden. Like, but it should tell you at the time what Ben is thinking, which is, oh, my God, my defense can't stop anybody.
I thought that pressure got to him. Yeah. I thought that pressure of what Jordan Love was doing to his defense kind of baited him into a bad decision.
Well, and, you know, I was in Detroit last year when they lost to the Commanders, and Ben was calling trick plays left and right and kind of doing everything he could to rage against a game that was slipping away. I got kind of those vibes today, too, where maybe he was trying a little too hard. I mean, shoot, look at that first drive. The opening kickoff, there's a fake reverse on the opening kickoff. And then at some point he draws up a play with Colston Loveland at tailback, Cole Kmet at wide receiver. Kmet takes an end around and is running to his left, and Cole Kmet, left-handed, which I think surprises some people, Cole Kmet pulls up the throw, and there's nothing there, and he runs out of bounds for a gain of a yard. Ben had the bag of tricks with him. I thought when we were talking football politics, by the way, that you were going to ask about all Navy uniforms, because...
I know you're excited about that.
I don't love it. I would prefer the all-white.
Well, you're excited about it happening. So you're strongly, you're excitedly against it.
I was, you know, they were 0-4 against the Packers wearing those uniforms. They'd spent all season not messing with their stuff as a tribute to to Virginia McCaskey, who died. Thought today was probably a bad idea to test fate there, and it felt that way. Felt like I was right for 3 quarters. Real quick, as we go forward, the Bears' run game averaged 3.3 yards per carry. Mm. That's not going to work. Jordan Love had a pass rating of 103.8. That's probably not going to work going forward either if you're the Bears' defense. If they play this game, the game they played tonight, against the Rams or Eagles, is this the same outcome, or are they going to have to pay?
Yeah, obviously, Pet. They're just going to score a flurry of touchdowns at the end of every game and get every onside kick and every possible thing. How can I say it won't work? It worked all season, and it worked on Saturday night in a playoff game. I mean, ideally, though, you don't want to play like this against... The teams get better. Every single round, the teams get better. If you look back to some of the teams they did that to, by the way, this year, the Giants are in there, the Bengals are in there, the Vikings are in there. Mm-hmm. Green Bay is the lowest seeded of the playoff teams. It gets tougher. It was tougher to do it to Green Bay than it was to some of the other teams, and it will be tougher to do it to the Rams or the Eagles if you get in that situation. I mean, imagine being in that situation down 11 with under 5 minutes left, and you're in Seattle. I'm not saying that they can't, because how could anyone say that at this point? But it's not a situation you would really want to be in. You don't book a hotel and a flight to go there on vacation, to be sitting down 12, under 5 minutes in a playoff game. That's not anybody's plan.
I called Kmet after the game. He said, you know, I was just talking in the shower, which is a sentence you only hear athletes say. And he goes, and this is all just so mentally exhausting. He was happy. He was as smiley as I've seen him in years. But this takes a lot out of everybody, including Caleb Williams, who ended his press conference by saying, I'm going to go home and go to bed.
You know what he did after that?
What?
He said it was the last thing he said coherently. Was that he needed to go home and get some sleep. And you know how he ends every press conference with the Bears? It was the sleepiest the Bears. It was the Bears. And then kind of just trudges off the podium back to his locker.
3 hours from now when
the Bears.
3 hours.
He was just drained.
3 hours from now when I get home and it's the middle of the night and I walk past my kid's room, I might get a
sleepy the Bears from Boone.
The Bears. Real quick before we go, Colson Loveland, 8 catches for 137 yards. DJ Moore had 6 for 64. Roma Dunze back, 2 for 44.
It's a contribution.
Yeah, it's something. Cole Kmet, 0 catches, but just, again, you know, the Bears are completing 24 of 46 passes. Just crazy.
Two stats that hit me hard out of that is the Chicago Bears have a quarterback that just threw for 361 yards in a playoff game. Also, he was at 78 at halftime. So it's kind of like, where did all that come from? When did all that happen? How did he get to 361 by the end of this thing?
Do you want to guess what his passer rating is?
Low. 70s, right?
71.6.
Yeah. Because the completion percentage is half. It's 50%, and there were some interceptions in there. One of those might not have been his fault. I think there's still some issues with Luther Burden knowing where he's supposed to be all the time and being there.
Can we talk about that real quick? That's the first interception, and what happened was Burden thought he was open and threw his hands up, you know, the whole mailbox thing that they have, which essentially means if you're open, throw your hands up, and we'll just throw you the ball right where you are.
It's like an audible on the fly for the receiver.
And instead, Caleb threw the ball to the route, which was a post route, roughly. Yeah. And Burden didn't run the post route. And it wound up being an arm punt because if the guy had just dropped it, they would have gained 25 more yards because it was fourth down. But still, not something you can do against a really good team and expect to get away with it.
The other thing on there is when you said Colston Loveland, 8 catches, 137 yards, and that's
not out of nowhere. He's been progressing toward that. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams were taking a victory lap on the Colston Loveland draft pick Saturday night. Ben was kind of mentioning, you know, people are like, why did you take Colston Loveland? Well, here you go. I don't know that anybody saw that when they made that pick. I know I was surprised they picked a tight end at all. Most people were surprised that they picked that tight end over Tyler Warren out of Penn State, who went to the Colts and had a comparable season overall. But I didn't picture at that time, this guy is going to become your 100 receiving yard player in a playoff game and become the quarterback's go-to guy in the biggest moment of your season. And here we are. And Colston Loveland has been building toward this. It's not a fluke. And this is going to be, I would have to think he's the focal point of their passing game the rest of the way.
Yeah, probably. He's been unbelievable. I thought back to the owners meetings where I asked Ryan Poles, just me and him talking. I said, so is Tyler Warren the best tight end out there? And Poles went, oh, yeah, of course. Knowing that, I'm sure that...
Lying season, right?
Absolutely. Jason, once we figure out who the Bears are going to play, and once we get back to Hallis Hall early in the week, we will be back with another podcast. But until then, people can find us at the Sun-Times website. They can check us out on the app, and they can buy a paper if they live in town. Special shout-out, by the way, Mark Potash. Helped us out tonight. It's good to have him back. Maybe next time we can force him to do this.
The people would love it.
We'll have a special podcast. But yes, we will be back with another one later this week. Until then, he's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.